Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele's zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Welcome back, players. Mountain West Connection Show here. Check us out at MWCConnection.com. Same on Twitter. Well, actually, Twitter's MWC Connection. Facebook, Mountain West Connection, all that jazz. Jeremy Moss here. And I'm recording alone this afternoon on this. Right now, it's Wednesday, so hopefully this gets pushed out. Well, it's on me in a couple hours, but some last-minute changes. I'm going solo today, but I do have Chris's pick, so we will discuss what he decided to go with, as well as what I have. And, geez, man, we're week 12. We got only a few weeks left in the regular season here. Week 16 is the title game weekend, or actually that's Army-Navy weekend. Week 15 is title game weekend. We have three more regular season weeks to go. And it's getting crazy out there. We could say it's getting crazy. Actually, Mountain West is shoring itself up, where we actually know who's going to win what division, or at least not, well, can't predict the future, but you know what I mean. We have a good idea of what teams can win out and win the division, or win their league, and win their, well, the whole conference league, whatever you want to call it here, folks, but we have a good idea. And before we get into the games, there is the little thing called this College Football Playoff Committee rankings that came out, and once again, zero teams outside of the Power Five are ranked. No Colorado State, no Boise State, no undefeated Marshall, or two-loss East Carolina. Not that I'm surprised at all on this, but what this is showing, there is, well, we'll get into a little bit with Baylor, TCU, kind of how that thing's shaping up to be. But it's showing here that there's no incentive to play, say, Pac-12 Mountain West, Big 12 Mountain West, anything Mountain West versus a power team, power conference team, I should say. Because if you look at the rankings right now, going back to that TCU-Baylor situation, Baylor played, I think their best win's Buffalo. TCU is getting a lot of credit for beating Minnesota, which they should. Minnesota 7-2. They are, I believe they're tied or right up there in the Big Ten West division. And they're ahead of Baylor by a couple spots despite the head-to-head. So I like the committee doing a good job going in and not really taking into account, okay, you're ranked 4 this week, so you lost, you're going to 6 or 7. Prime example, look at LSU. They have 3 losses, and they changed from 16 to 17 after that overtime loss to Alabama, who is number 5. And Alabama, they stayed at number 5 despite being a good team, and were actually jumped by TCU to be Kansas, a higher-rated team than LSU. But they're doing a good job of that, but at some point, you got to have a team win games. LSU, yeah, we know they're good, but they've lost three games. Utah's lost three games. Texas A&M's lost three games, and they're all under rankings. Anybody else I'm missing? I don't think so. And the thing with a good guy is, like, why would... unless you're a high-profile team, like, we know Kansas State played Auburn, but look what, like, again, look at Baylor. TCU played Minnesota. Let me pull up their schedule as well. But they're basically, they played, you got to play at least one, it looks like, to get into the playoff, like, one team from a power conference. Everybody's going to schedule FCS. Like, here's what TCU had really quick. Samford and a bad SMU team in Minnesota. Not great, but at Minnesota, it's better than what Baylor did. So what it looks like the committee's doing, it matters a little bit. Because Baylor played SMU, Northwestern State, and Buffalo. Nothing impressive, really. And so the committee's going, well, you don't really need to play a tough schedule. You don't need to play a Boise or UNLV or Nevada or whoever, Texas State, UTSA. It's not really relevant unless you're going to be one of those, get in the playoff. If you're going to make a big money bowl game, just be ranked high enough to win all your games. And that kind of discourages me because I want to see good games. I'd like to see what Colorado State, yeah, they beat Boston College. They're 6-4. They're pretty good. Not great, but they're okay. They play Florida State in their next game. If they win, heck, that looks better for CSU and that strength of schedule, all that factors in there. Colorado is still 2-8, but they're more competitive in the Pac-12. But it seems like there's no real incentive for them to play because Baylor's getting dinged for playing a bad schedule. So they'd rather play. They'll stick their one FCS team. Maybe they'll play, like, Indiana or a bad, like, who's a bad, like, SEC team. Florida's not very good. Vanderbilt. So teams like that at the bottom. Syracuse isn't that great. Stuff like that. So it's a two-way thing. If they're playing each other, for the most part, outside of the games here and there, there's no way for the Mountain West or MAC or CUSA to have a tough enough schedule to, if there's any run like Boise State, Howard, Kellen Moore, to move into that position to take a playoff berth. Not that we knew that would be coming, because it's still an extreme long shot. But it's just discouraging to not maybe see some of these games go away, because the committee is proving strength of schedule. But we still got a couple games left in the regular season. We'll see how the rankings shape up. And it's key to look at that TCU-Baylor matchup, or not matchup, but the rankings between the two, where, okay, they're ranked over them, even though head-to-head, which should carry some weight, despite it being a close loss. There's all that type of thing. It'll give a good idea. Like, well, maybe Baylor's like, well, we'll up our schedule. Instead of playing SMU, we will play, like I said, Illinois or something like that, just because they're in a power conference, or play Colorado or Washington State. But basically, there's no team rank, so we don't know who the highest-rated team outside of our conference or the group of five is. I'm assuming I still like Marshall to be number one, just because being undefeated is very difficult. Yeah, the schedule's awful. They haven't beaten any good teams, but they're winning and winning by a reasonable margin. Like me and Chris have said before, wait till they play Rice, and I believe they also play Louisiana Tech coming up. But Rice has won 6 in a row. I believe that matchup's this week. Let me check here before I move on to our actual games here. And it's difficult when I don't have somebody to bounce stuff off with me here. Going solo, it's fun, but it's a bit different. Yeah, this is a big game. Rice plays at Marshall this week at 2:30 Eastern. This could be the game where Rice has been playing very well and Marshall's been crushing everybody. This could be the game. Oh, they do not play Louisiana Tech. Marshall would have the title game if they both make it that far. So they got Rice. He's a good opponent. UAB, Western Kentucky. But it's just at the point where if they beat Rice and they're undefeated, I think they should get the spot just because, hey, they're undefeated. It takes a lot of effort to do that. But if they're doing strength of schedule, you got to look at Boise or Colorado State. I know, and even smaller, Utah State and Nevada. But my thinking at this point, it's either going to be Marshall or whoever wins the Mountain West Conference. Even if it's a, well, if it's a three-loss Utah State and Nevada team, because Nevada can get to the path of the title game, Utah State needs a lot of help, but their defense is playing very well, and that would be something interesting to see. I would just want to wonder, I just wonder what could happen if you got Marshall, who, say they just lose the title game. They're 12-1, they'd be 12-1, compared to, say, Boise State, who's 11-2, or Utah State play next game 11-3, because they played the extra game at Hawaii or Nevada or whoever, 10-3. I'd be interested to see, if Marshall loses, it's the Mountain West champion, I would say almost for sure, even over a 2-loss East Carolina compared to a 3-loss Nevada team. That's kind of my thinking, just that's where I'm getting. I'm trying not to be homerish here, but that's where I think it could be at, because who they played in. Air Force is pretty good. CSU's pretty good. We know Boise's good. CSU's ranked, so we know they're good. Boise's right there. The Air Force loss is still biting them a little bit for the rankings, but they played Mississippi State quite with Bo Wallace there right to the very end, and fourth quarter kind of fell apart on them with that defense. But I would still put money on a Mountain West team making the Fiesta Bowl or Peach Bowl, whatever that may be. But the rankings, it's a clear. Now, I don't want to say there's a big bias, but you can only play the games in front of you. We know the SEC is good. I like the Pac-12. They're a good conference. They're a deep conference, in my opinion, especially that South. But how can, if you go and control four games, you're not going to see Boise go out and schedule Oregon, Texas, Alabama, and Florida in the same year. Not going to happen. That's the only way I'm thinking they'll even be ranked in the poll or even get consideration for the playoff, because CSU, like I said, CSU's one loss. They're not even in the ranking. Marshall's undefeated, not in the ranking. And they can't control 8 or 9 of their games. And so even if teams go undefeated or have one loss, is it going to take like the Boise State theory or historical look where they keep winning games, they finally get the credit to be ranked? Because my Boise also had Oregon, Virginia Tech, Georgia, those wins in there. But we'll just see. There's going to be a team in there. I'm going to bet the Mountain West champ is going to be in there, because even if Marshall's undefeated, they'll take strength schedule into account, and I think there's more to be said for Boise State or Colorado State or even Nevada to get there. But let's get on to the games. We have games this week. Of course we do. We got 5 games. I love the schedule this week for 2 reasons. One, every game's on Saturday, which is awesome. And 2, the games are spread out, especially the 2 big games, I think, that have the most implication this week. So, as per usual, we'll go through chronological order, not to, even though we are biased against every team, but this is a way to not be biased, I guess. But the first game is Nevada at Air Force, 2 Eastern, Root Sports, so, or streaming on the Mountain West Network if you live outside of a region that does not get this game on your TV and you don't live in that area. So, essentially, if you live in Colorado, you just have good old rabbit ears, you don't get Root Sports, you can't go to the Mountain West Network online to watch it because you're in the footprint. But if you live in Texas or Florida and you don't get that game, you can watch online. That's how that works. It helps a little bit. It's nice that it's able to be done. But this game is huge for both teams. And it's huge for Nevada because if they win out, they are going to represent the Mountain Division, or excuse me, the West Division and the Mountain West title game. Well, Air Force, they have a... They're sitting at 2 losses. They need a lot of help. They still play Colorado State, and they beat Boise State. There's a chance if they were to beat... They need some help. They need a Boise loss and a Colorado State to beat them. Or, excuse me, to lose to the Falcons to get to the title game. They're not out of it, but they're... Hey, we've seen... Look what New Mexico and Boise did last week. There's a lot of crazy things that can happen. UNLV beat Fresno. Fresno beating the Aztecs. Hawaii beating Wyoming. Wyoming to be heading to a bowl game, possibly, if they were to be able to beat Hawaii a couple weeks back. So there's that that makes the game very intriguing. And just into offenses, man. Air Force is with Jacoby Owens. You got Kale Pearson who can throw the ball. Best name ever, Weston Stillhammer on defense. But I could argue, realistically argue, that Nevada's playing almost the best football in the conference. Colorado State's been playing pretty well. I would say Boise, but last week's game was just... They weren't playing very well, and New Mexico's not that great of a team. They move the ball well, but it's not consistent enough, in my opinion. But they beat BYU. They scored, 29 straight points to beat them. They took care of Hawaii. They had no real issue versus Aztecs. Their defense is playing better. Even if you go back to the second half of Boise State and Colorado State game, they could put up a lot of points. And that's where I think that could put them to the edge for victory, because Air Force, their offense isn't capable of scoring that quickly. Because, again, go back to Boise State Air Force. 7 turnovers, they only scored 28 points. That could have been a blowout. So, as you can see, even with short fields and getting all the things that go in their way, they didn't even blow out Boise State with, I believe, it was a +5 turnover margin. But Nevada, man, Brock Hecking, their defense has been stepping up the past couple of weeks. And Cody Fajardo's running the ball well. Their offense is... Jeez, their offense is scoring points. He passed that milestone. What was it, 9,000 total yards in offense? They've just been tearing. Don Jackson's been improving. Jericho Richardson, all these guys on their offense have been playing well. Don Jackson, above average, I would say. He's had some more big runs of late. He had 124 for San Diego State and that long 47-yard TD. And he's did okay versus Hawaii and BYU, averaging it's about 4 or 5 yards of carry on the season, 4.3 it looks like. But one main thing, too, as well, outside of them playing better and more consistent, their offense is fine. Defense is where I'm liking Nevada. They're getting turnovers. They are getting some points a little bit back to BYU. But Hawaii, San Diego State helped them out a lot because even against San Diego State, the minute you got to look at the rushing attack. And we know the Aztecs have Donnell Pumphrey running the ball there. And he only had 85 yards last week. And Chase Price had 58 on 8 carries. He had a good per yard, per carry average. But Nevada held the best rusher, Donnell Pumphrey, to under 100 yards for the first time, I think, what, 2 times all year? No, held him out of the end zone. And it was only, well, he's been under 100. It was his lowest output of the year, 85 yards. And he had an 89, a 94, and a bunch over 100 at 1 over 200 versus Lobos. But if they hold that, and the key to Air Force, as I always say, give up the yards. Don't give up these 20-yard plays, 50-yard plays, 60-yard plays. Don't give up a 7-yard average per attempt. They got to see if they can hold Jacoby Owens and just not slow down the big plays. Same with Kel Pearson. And they can't get sucked in because playing Air Force is boring. I know people have played against the Falcons. They hate it. Because I say this, again, every time. If the one time you take the one step away or you do something different, you'll get beat for a huge play. So you got to play basically play 1-11th football. If you're playing to pitch man, stick him no matter what. If you're playing the nose tackle, you got to take the fullback in the head every single time when he dives with middle without the ball. Because the one time he doesn't block and he has the ball and carries the ball, 50, not a 50-yard run, but a big gain. And that's for the Air Force. They need to find a way to slow down this Nevada offense, which I don't. Their defense has been much better. Their best defense in years, in my opinion. And if they're able to get some interceptions, get some turnovers, still hammer all these other guys, get to Fajardo, hold on Jackson, they have a chance to slow down the offense. I don't know if they can do it. And thing is, too, Nevada's lost one game on the road. That was at Arizona by a touchdown. And Air Force is undefeated at home. So they're both playing well, Nevada on the road and Air Force at home. And Nevada needs this game. If they want to secure the West Division, they need to win. Because if they lose, Aztecs are right there back in the mix for it, sitting with Aztecs right now, 2 losses. As for my pick, this game, it is very, very close. We're going by the lines, and we go by the lines where I made my post. So let me pull that up really quick. I should have had that already here. Let's take a quick look. I did stick it on my story stream there. Sorry, talking myself there, folks, trying to find what I'm looking for. But here we got the first game. This is interesting. It opened as a... I'm in the wrong week here, maybe. Hold on a second. Nope, I just didn't put them in order. It opened as... It's weird. It opened as a road favorite for Nevada as 2.5, but now it was 2 for Falcons at home. I am picking... I think Nevada's going to get the win outright. They're going to win... They're going to cover because it's 2 points. It's not very many. But they're going to win by... It's going to be a close game. It's going to be like a one-possession game. And I think Nevada's offense is just too strong and we'll be able to get the win. And that's because of what Jackson can do, Fajardo can do. And while Air Force's defense is better, it's still not great. And here's what my normal partner, Crime Mask Chris, has Air Force to win and cover. So he has Air Force to win. Well, I guess my pick is Nevada all the way because Nevada is not a favorite anymore. So he's picking Air Force to win by field goal or more. It doesn't say why. He didn't get to it, but that's his pick. So we got, differing picks. Last week, we had the exact same pick for every game, and that's boring. So he got the Falcons. I'm wondering if he just thinks the triple option time of possession could be the key issue there. Maybe he'll leave something in the comments. Maybe, but that's why I got Nevada first, getting the victory on the road to keep the West Division alive for them. And that Falcons, if they do lose, that pretty much seals their fate to be out of the conversation for the Mountain Division title. All right, next game. New Mexico at Utah State. This is on ESPN News, so make sure you find ESPN News. New Mexico is 3-6. Aggies are 7-3. And it's at 4 p.m. Eastern. I want to see, because Utah State's defense is very good. We know they're very good. Even though they've lost Kyler Fackrell, they lost another linebacker. I think Chris mentioned last week. I forget the person's name at the moment. But they lost another key player. But they're fine. And New Mexico, they... I like what Lamar, everybody knows I like Lamar Jordan. I like what he can do. He still needs to throw the ball a bit better. That was my criticism on Cole Gauchy. And when he played Boise State, there were just too many third and longs. It was just unexpected for him to be able to, let me rephrase that. It's hard to expect him to complete that many passes on third and long when they know he's an okay throw and Carlos Wiggins isn't playing. And another main issue, I'm checking right now, I should have had this before, but oh my gosh, I can't think of the guy's name. This is going to crush me because I'm pulling up the Mexico depth chart. I'll look it up right now since I'm by myself. Might as well do something productive here. I'm thinking, what's his name? I can't think of the running back who injured his foot last week. Yes, there it is. Sorry. Jarrell Presley. I don't know why his name just slipped my mind. It's pretty ridiculous. I'm checking the depth chart because he left that game in the second half, and that's the reason, at least in my opinion, Boise State was able to win. Plus, their adjustments they made. You definitely need to give them credit for making some changes and being able to slow down the running attack of the Lobos. But Presley being gone, Gibson couldn't do it all himself. As for the depth chart this week, Carlos Wiggins should be back, which is very helpful for them. And then you have at the running back position, let me take a quick look and see who they've... Yeah, it looks like Presley, he's expected as a starter there. So if he's back, that ankle sprain doesn't seem to be too serious. That'll be a pretty big punch for the Aggies to handle. But again, Utah State, their defense, man, Vigil brothers, Zach, Nick Vigil, BJ Larson up front, all these guys they have in the secondary playing pretty well. It'll be a tough thing because just look what Utah State likes to do. They like to stop the run. They try to make some plays. And if they can keep Jordan to third and long, I don't think there's any way that the Lobos would be able to convert enough of those to be able to beat Utah State. But they do get play. They do get big chunks of plays because the Boise State game, they had multiple 50-yard, 75, 100-yard touchdown plays where guys weren't even touched. But even with that said, I want to see what Kent Myers can do again for Utah State side. I want to see if they're going to open up the playbook for him because you got LaJuan Hunt running the ball well, Hunter Sharp, and Myers seem to have a connection so far in the past few games. They've been able to complete a couple passes. Well, more than a couple, but it seems to be coming on sooner than later, which is with Hunter Sharp being right there, Rashard Higgins as the best wideout in the league. He's caught in the past few games. He got three in Hawaii, which didn't really need that many just because Hawaii, but five versus Wyoming, so he's caught eight passes, and he has two total touchdowns. So they're getting a little connection there. I want to see if Matt Wells will allow Kent Myers to go downfield. He showed a little bit last week in their win over Wyoming. They just didn't get many points. They had two big plays and only one offensive touchdown. So I want to see if Utah State can get more offense. Because if there's any way they're going to beat Boise State, maybe win the Mountain West title, they're going to need more offense. And they need Joe Hill to be a good runner with Hunt there and get Myers involved. Because it's like New Mexico, I'm saying. If you have Lamar Jordan throwing it long, he's not going to throw the ball consistently enough to get first downs. Kent Myers, if he's just throwing underneath passes all the time, quick passes, teams will just bring the pressure and get a hand up and try to knock the ball down or sack or get him out of pocket or do something. They'll counter the quick pass play by bringing the pressure. So they need to go downfield to mix up the offense a little bit. This is a game where they should be able to do that, and they should be able to win. I do like New Mexico. I do like how they're improving. It's like what me and Chris said before with UNLV last, I think, a couple years ago. This is a compliment, trust me. I'm trying to be nice here. They're not getting beat as bad. Like, UNLV would get crushed 50-10, 60-12. They wouldn't score any points. This time, if you look at New Mexico, outside of the Arizona State game, every game has been by 11 points or less. They lost by a touchdown to UTEP, 11 to Fresno, 10 to San Diego State, 4 to Air Force, and 11 to Boise. So they've been within two touchdowns, basically two scores every game but Arizona State. And so they are improving. That it's definitely something Lobos fans should be excited about for next year and the year after with Jordan being there for a while. Carlos Wiggins another year. You got Presley back for next season as well. But I just think Aggies are going to have too much. Offense is going to take another step forward. But now we get to the interesting part of the line of what we would take for this game. This is huge. It's 18, or excuse me, open at 16. It's currently 18 now, but we're going with 17 for Utah State. I don't think Aggies offense can score enough to do that. So I'm taking Aggies to win, but New Mexico to cover. partly because the offense Utah State needs to show me some more things. New Mexico can control that time of possession with their ground attack. And it looks like Chris is with me as well. Utah State to win, New Mexico to cover. So we will see how that turns out. And if the Aggies win, it's another step forward for them with their four-string quarterback getting the job done. Next game, we go to Northern California. San Jose State hosts Hawaii. And this game, sorry, folks, it's on. Oh, here's a good, no, I'm not going to say sorry. It's Oceanic, Time Warner, but also Mountain West Network. So we get a lot of Robert, what's his name? The Hawaiian dude for Hawaii is the complete homer, which I love. Excellent. Everybody's shouting his name now. I don't recall his name. Kaliki or whatever. The guy who wears the Hawaiian shirts and likes to say, this is my Hawaii team, our team, which is great. They play at San Jose State. This will be tough for Hawaii. We know they do have Stephen Lakalaka and Joey Sefa. Joey Sefa back from his three-game suspension from the DUI. He played last week. Didn't play all that well versus Colorado State, but the Spartans have a terrible... We know. They have a terrible... Sorry. One more. Terrible rush defense. And this could be a chance that Iosefa and a possible upset alert for the Spartans here. I like what Joe Gray's been doing. He's been playing better each and every weekend, ball to Irvin, but they don't have Jared Lawson anymore. Or excuse me, Tyler Irvin's running back. Their other receiver. A pair of Tylers. There was Tyler Watson, I believe. I love doing this show by myself if I forget one name because, you know, everybody knows how I'm awesome with these names. And whatnot. Sorry, Irvin and Winston. Sorry, not Watson. Joe Gray does have both of those guys to help him out in the run-pass combo. I just don't know if Hawaii will be able to get it done. They should be... Spartans should be on upset alerts because, again, running attack, that is one of the few strengths Hawaii has on offense. But here's the thing. Hawaii went from at Hawaii to Colorado. They did not stay in the mainland this week. A lot of times, if they have back-to-back games, they'll stay. They went back to Hawaii and now are back to San... Probably because it's a West Coast... Probably one of the closest schools to get to. That's a road game for them. That takes a big toll because they're going to leave probably a day or two before... They probably got to... See, if they left the game for CSU Saturday, they probably got home midday Sunday or late Sunday morning with the time change and all that stuff, the time zone differential difference. And they play Saturday afternoon. They probably have Thursday night or early Friday morning to get. No, I'd say they probably left Thursday to get there Thursday night. And so they barely been home for 72 hours. They get back in the plane, head back to the mainland. That's tough on the body. It's just a little, going from Hawaii to the West Coast is almost basically a cross country flight across the United States. It's that or it's extremely close. But I can't get Woosley for Hawaii. He's still Woosley. They're sticking to one QB, what you say? That's some sort of a accomplishment for Norm Chow. And we gotta start thinking about the future because Hawaii's 2-8. I don't know if Norm Chow will be back next year. They've lost 4 in a row. I don't know how they beat Wyoming. It was at home, so maybe that's got a lot to do with it, but They kick too many field goals. This is ridiculous. Akeke Woosley, 16 of 47 versus CSU. He had 41, 34. This is the worst game of the year. He only completed 34% of his passes. You need some help. He needs to be more accurate. The only guy who can throw the ball. The only guys that can catch the ball. I'm going to say the only way Hawaii is going to win is if they just give a heavy dose of running the ball. Just run the ball the entire game and see what can happen. And maybe they can get it done. But I don't expect it's a road game. There's no way Hawaii... I don't think there's a very small chance Hawaii could win. They'll keep it closer than expected if they do heed the advice of running the ball more than passing the ball. Because it's only a 10, and it's for our purposes, it's 10.5 for the line. But at the moment, I want to kind of see what the current line is, see if it's changed a bit here. But going off the 10... point line I have here, it's still 10.5. I'm picking San Jose State to win and cover, but it's only going to be like maybe two touchdowns. It's going to be something close where they may score at the end, but I see the Spartans getting it done because Joe Gray can throw the ball well enough. The secondary for San Jose State will stop anything that Hawaii tries to throw, so they seem to concentrate, maybe add an extra guy to the box to stop the running game with Woosley and Iosefa back there. But I'm calling for Spartans to win and cover, but it'll be a close one. As for Mr. Chris, geez, we picked the same thing. Win and cover for Spartans. And if Hawaii loses or 2-9, there's got to there, Norm Chow, like Chris, I think Chris said, Norm Chow will politely retire at the end of the season. So we'll see how that goes. Because that's, oh man. And then we could see maybe Nick Rolovich or from Nevada OC, or like I said, maybe Kalani Sitake at Utah taking over that job. But we'll see. That's, man, Hawaii. Used to have so much. So much used to be there. So much. Used to be so great. Next game, UNLV at former, or can we call them associate members this year? BYU Cougars, who are currently 0-3 versus the Mountain West, and probably going to win, but they've lost to Boise State, Nevada, and Utah State. BYU had a bye last week. They were able to get past Middle Tennessee State. Here's a few key notes. They lost starting running back Jamal Williams for the rest of the year with ankle injury. That's a big deal. He's probably on par right there at JHI. For very good running back. One of the best out west, including the Pac-12. Got Devontae Booker, Utah, and whoever decides to run the ball at Stanford, but more along the lines Oregon. But he's gone. So they're down a few running backs there. But Christian Stewart, they'll like to throw the ball. That's what they're going to want to do in Nevada. They're playing a team in Nevada, UNLV. UNLV, again, everybody knows my pick because I've already said I'm never picking UNLV again because it's right now it's 24 points. I still, man, I got to stick to it this year. I got to take take BYU to win and cover. We actually got it at 23.5, but still, that's, they can't do it. They've lost three in a row. They're losing. I don't even think Blake Zurek, Blake. Got two names mixed up there, of course. Blake Decker is going to even play. He left the game last week. And if he's unable to go, there, Shaquille Murray Lawrence didn't run the ball very well last week. UNLV's a struggler, man. They just can't get anything right. The offense isn't there. They just need, I don't know what they need to do because BYU's defense isn't that great. They've lost a lot of players. And they're just not playing as well. There's a lot of controversy versus the defensive coordinator and head coach Bronco Mendenhall there of what they're trying to do or looking to achieving to do. But the big question, looking at the Review Journal, the Las Vegas Review Journal, this is posted as of November 11th, so yes, it should be Tuesday afternoon. They're still concerned about what Blake Decker will start. And it seems like possibly Bobby Hawk said he would have a better idea by Wednesday, and we're at Wednesday afternoon, so they haven't practiced yet, so I don't have the information. So even if he starts, that does give UNLV a better chance. But again, it's not like Decker's been over-impressive. But here's the one thing where UNLV has maybe an edge. Devontae Davis is back. He played had over 100 yards last week. They had Devontae Boyd, who's a receiver, also playing very well. So if UNLV is going to win, they need to get those guys involved early and often because BYU secondary, they've lost a couple of starters to injury throughout the year. They lost, I think it was Jordan Johnson versus that Central Florida game to, I think, a broken elbow or some sort of arm injury. They lost a few other guys. They've lost a lot of depth, and that's a spot where to be the confident side to help you and UNLV fans see a light to maybe get this win or even keep it close in the passing game. If Decker plays, it's great. I don't even know who the backup is for UNLV. Jeez. That's great. A video in a different language started playing. Actually, I need to take a look. I believe it's still going to be Decker on the depth chart number one. I just want to look at their backup is because unless it's still our boy Caleb Herring. No, it's Jared. Oh, it's Lebowitz. He played last week. He went 3-12. Redshirt freshman. Not all that great. So here's what they need. Shaquille Murray Lawrence to step up and get the ball to Davis and Boyd. And there's, I would love to change my pick. I am rooting for UNLV for all my might because I want them to beat. Hey, beat BYU. Everybody likes to hate on BYU. I know Chris is probably killing himself not being able to talk about this game because it is his UNLV Rebels where he attends home games. We know his disdain for BYU and what he did when basketball team, I forget who it was, out at a Big West school and Brandon Davies' honor code issues. He yelled honor code or something at a free throw and made him miss the. Chris felt it was his responsibility and why Brandon Davies missed that shot. But he's picking, he picks BYU to win, but UNLV to cover. I'm sticking with what I say. I don't trust UNLV as far as I can do anything with them. They haven't won a road game all year. They haven't really been close in too many games all year. I still don't know how they beat Fresno State in overtime. If here's what they need to do. If they're going to win or keep it close, Murray Lawrence needs to run the ball reasonably well and then get Davis and Boyd involved in the passing game. But you look on BYU, you say Christian Stewart's been playing much better at quarterback. They have Jordan Leslie. They got Mitch Matthews, who's about 6'7". They get the tight end involved with Devin Mihina. The UNLV's defense has been not very good throughout the whole year. They give up a lot of yards passing the ball. They just not, defensively, they're just not very good. And I like how this, the Las Vegas Review Journal, one of their things to watch is why should anybody care about this game? And he goes, because it's BYU, if there's one team's Rebel fans want to beat more than UNR, it's the Cougars. It's true, that. I'd like a basketball matchup more. That'd be awesome, but. And then he also mentioned, the obligatory, is BYU ever rejoining the Mountain West? Not unless they have to. And that's what the way this guy puts it here. Only if they're forced to. Because they want to get to the Big 12, so. And then here's one interesting thing as well. Why is UNLV waiting until after the November 29th game against Reno to make a decision on Hauk? Because crazy things happen. Will the Rebels suddenly find magic, finish with victories over BYU and UNR? Not going to happen. If they're going to can a coach, the good strategy is to fire him before you play your rival. Because if you beat your rival, people want to keep him around. It's like if you look at Florida with Will Muschamp. He beat Georgia, big rival. That may keep him around. Or I remember years ago when Utah was in the Mountain West, they had Ray Giacoletti as their head coach. Didn't do very good at all. Wasn't not a good coach, really. Faded that very quickly. They announced he was not being retained before they played BYU, and they would not beat BYU. Had he beat BYU, there have been pressure to keep him around because they beat the rival. So I don't know how he got the extension last year. And there was Board of Regents who were not happy with the pay raise. I think more specifically the pay raise than the extension. But I doubt there'll be any sort of move on that front just because, you know, we had to pay a lot of money for the, even though the APR didn't really hurt them because they got it rescinded to be able to be bowl eligible. I'm pretty sure they still spent the money on the academic side, which is a couple $100,000. And what do they all have money to go out and get a buyout and then find a new coach? So it's a tough spot for them. But as for the outcome of this game, if Decker starts, it gives them a better chance. But I'm still picking, even BYU with their backup quarterback, backup running backs, missing the key defenders. I'm sticking to my word. I do want UNLV to win. I think if UNLV is going to keep it close, they need to do it early. They can't get down 14 points, 17 points early on. Hold BYU to field goals. When BYU gets the red zone, they're not that great. So maybe there's a way Nevada, UNLV, I don't know why I keep saying Nevada and UNLV when I know it's definitely the Rebels. But BYU's going to win. I'm picking. My pick is, since I have to, at least until next season, we'll see what I do. But BYU will cover and win. But if you, like I said, I'm repeating myself a bunch here, so I apologize. Again, you don't need to feel sorry for me doing a one-man show, but I'm working. I'm working on it here. Passing game with both Devontae guys and Shaquille Murray Lawrence running the ball. That's the way they're going to keep it close. And maybe the defense can get a turnover here or there to do something with it, but I don't see it happen. Even if I'm being most positive, UNLV is not going to win this game. It's a road game. There might be some Rebel fans coming up because it's only about a 5 or 6 hour drive to Provo there from Vegas. So maybe there'll be some contingency there. It is on ESPNU at 7 Eastern, so it's not a late night game, so that's nice. Okay, let's get to the final game. This is the other game I'm talking about with the schedule being so nice. We have Nevada Air Force, 2 Eastern, and then the late game, Boise State host San Diego State on ESPNU. No bonus ceremony, folks. No bonus money there for either school, but it's on ESPNU. It's following that UNLV-BYU game, so, dude, park in front of the TV and watch those two games. Flip back over to Hawaii a little bit on your computer, or if you got a Chromecast, then you can stream. I think you can stream that to your TV, but Aztecs at Boise State. Here's the thing. Here is the big deal. This is a rival. I wish Chris was here to talk about it, but he would not like it too much, but San Diego State's won the last 2 games versus Boise State. Aztecs are the last team to beat Boise State at home. That's 2 years ago, and there were special teams playing involved for that reason and that on the blue turf. Because if you look at, let me pull up the schedule here. Last year's game was in San Diego State, and that ended up being a overtime game. So they've been close, 34-31 last year, overtime. And then the year before, when it was at Boise State, it was 21-19. So 5 points over the past 2 years that separated these two teams. This, it's back at Boise, and then there's an interesting quote. which people are going to make a big deal about. I'm probably going to write a little article about it, but head coach Rocky Long is not intimidated by Boise State's home field advantage. He goes, it's not, this is a quote, it's not the stadium, it's not intimidating, the blue turf is a non-factor, end quote. Here's the thing. Any coach, they're never going to admit, oh, it's difficult, it's terrifying, we're going to be shaking in our cleats out there before we take the field. No. The blue turf is different to play on, but Aztecs have been there before, which any team that's been there more than once, after the first time, it's you get used to it. Boise there all the time, so that's obviously helps. So I remember Oregon State years ago, I forget what year it was, they actually painted their practice field blue to hopefully get an advantage, or at least help them visually see the field, because it is different from blue to green. Normal turf is green. Grass is green. Yes, that's not breaking news. Grass is green. And so that Oregon State did that to help them out. I don't think it helped, but being there before helps the Aztecs. But the stadium, Rocky Long, why would he psych his team out? He's going to say that regardless. Whether it's true or not, Boise State Stadium, we know they have a great home field advantage, but this Albertson Stadium, it doesn't hold that many people, and so it's not like you're going into a SEC country or Ohio State, Texas A&M, any team like that. This stadium holds, I'm checking, I think, 38,000 people? Does not hold. Yeah, the capacity is 36,387, so it's not that big, but it is noisy. We all know there's a home field advantage, but Rocky Long has to say this. It's like, oh, it doesn't bother us. We're fine. It's just another football game. And it is another football game. It just happens to be played on blue turf, and they should have the confidence as well. They won last time. They're the last team to win at Boise. So they have confidence. And as for the game itself, I'm predicting a close game because what the opening line is and the line we have right now in this game, it's two touchdowns. That's a lot of points for Boise State. But Boise State has Donnell Pumphrey, who's been running the ball extremely well. They have Jay Feely back for another game, and he's the key to the defense. And him being back for another game, it just helps him be stronger. He's recovering from the injury, so he should be able to play better. And sorry, I had the wrong schedule up here. I was trying to say something on Boise State. But Donald Pumphrey is the key to this game. He needs to run, get 100, 150 yards or more if possible in this game. And I don't know if that could be done because the Boise's front seven is quite good. We mentioned a million times their secondary, they're susceptible to give up yards, but they haven't done that in a while. But they make plays, interceptions, knock balls down. They still have guys like Darian Thompson and Dante Dion both have combined nine interceptions. And then he tossed in Jeremy Iona has had two. And those guys have missed multiple games. And Tyler Gray even has two, and he's a linebacker. So they have this. They have the ability to intercept, knock the ball down in the passing game. And Quinn Kaler, he hasn't been all that great. He does have Ruffin back with him. Azeel Ruffin back on the field again after collarbone. Sorry, I knew it was some type of shoulder injury or surgery he needed at some point through the year. But they do have Eric Judge. He's been playing quite well, and they need to complement the running game with that passing game. So yeah, it's I want to make sure I get the right guy. Sorry, it's Azeel Ruffin. I know we got the Wyoming guy Dominic Ruffin, but they have a good balance. Judge, in absence of Ruffin, has 18 total receptions. Lloyd Mills is doing well. Larry Clark. They need to get the passing game evolved because Boise, they'll probably be able to slow down Pumphrey at some point. They won't be able to slow him down the whole game. They might be able to keep him under 100 yards, maybe. But Boise State's rush defense is, they are giving up, their middle of the pack mountain was 156 per game, but they're only giving up 4.5 yards per carry on the ground. And that's right above middle of the Mountain West. There's only a couple teams under 5. But that's going to be a point of emphasis for the Broncos. They need whoever's on that front seven, if they're rotating guys, all the starters, to stop Pumphrey. And if they can't, my pick right now, I'm going Aztecs to cover but not win. We know every Colorado State fan is going to be watching this game, even the team, to see if they can somehow get the edge, take back the Mountain Division, and be in the starter driver's seat. But Rams, they just need help. There's nothing they can do. They can just, like I said, 11-1, nothing. They're going to whatever bowl game they go to, 11-1, which is a great season, and they just happen to get beat and quite handily to Boise State in week 2. Chris's pick real quick is to cover and win. I know that's fine. We know we're homers. We like our own team. Chris is the Bronco guy. I just think Aztecs will be able to keep it close with their running game. I think with Pumphrey, he's going to be able to do enough to keep them in the game. But overall, Boise State's played much better. Aztecs have been so inconsistent. I wouldn't be surprised if the Aztecs somehow win just because they have the edge and confidence. They've had some good games throughout the year. Not in a while, but they had a couple. Well, maybe not. They've just been pretty good all year. They haven't had anything. It's been hit or miss, I should say. Look at last week versus Idaho. We made fun of the Aztecs for hanging around versus Idaho. Who knows if they're just looking ahead. It was Idaho, so they didn't take them all that seriously. But their main thing, if Aztecs are going to win, they need Quinn Kaler to do what he did versus Idaho. If he's 14 of 22 for 249 and 3 touchdowns, which was the stat line, great. The stat line, if you look at that Idaho game, the stat line wasn't that bad. Their third down completion was good. It was just the defense that didn't really come to play. And Boise's offense, man, Jay Ajayi, McMichael's catching the ball, Grant Hendrick able to scramble, make plays. That's why I'm thinking maybe Jay Feely can rally the troops at Aztecs to make it a closer game or keep the defense more glued together, more cohesiveness to stop whatever Boise's throwing at them. But if the Aztecs are going to win, they do play, have your offense perform just like it did versus Idaho, pretty much. Maybe not have as many third downs, but it probably want more than 405 total yards, partly because Kaler got sacked so many times running the ball. But if you were to tell me, if you were to see Donnell Pumphrey have 142 yards and a touchdown, and then Kaler have a couple touchdown passes and threw for 250 at 66% of his passes, you would think, yeah, Aztecs have a good chance to win the game. Kaler probably needs to have a bit more yardage-wise on that, and Pumphrey can be about 120 to 140 to be okay. I just think Boise's defense is too good, and I think Ajayi and Grant Hendrick, except McMichaels, they'll be able to throw the ball around, run the ball, have a good combination, and be able to take care of the Aztecs, but it'll be a close game. It'll be probably a 10-point game, maybe even single digits. We'll know early on, too, if what this team's about. And I think Boise State's going to be pumped. They haven't beaten San Diego State since they joined the Mountain West Conference. So they're going to want to get that first win over the Aztecs, and that's a big deal. If they get the win, because looking ahead to schedule-wise, I haven't done that too much on this show today, but Boise State, they still need to play strong. Aztecs, while they're 5-4, they're still a reasonably admirable opponent, especially with what Pumphrey can do on the ground, but they have San Diego State this week. They go to Wyoming, which, playing in Laramie, and it's a night game, 8:15 local time. There could be an issue with weather, snow, and that crazier things have happened. And then they host Utah State, so there's still a lot of going on. They have a lot to play for, so they can't be complacent or anything. They need to finish strong if they're going to want to win the Mountain West and maybe get to a New Year's Day bowl game. And the Aztecs provide enough of a challenge. And especially, they want to recover from that embarrassing performance versus New Mexico. Because I'm pretty sure Rocky Long is looking at something. He's not going to implement the option in a short week or anything. Or not in a short week, but in a week's time to mess with the Boise State. But Price for the Aztecs has been playing well. Chase Price, he's been doing pretty well the past couple weeks. He did have a 100-yard game versus New Mexico, over 100 yards. But he's a good enough backup. He's averaging about 5 yards per carry. So when he comes in for Pumphrey, it may not be for a lot of carries, but he'll do just enough to get the job done. And Boise just can't relax that they know knowing Pumphrey's not in the game. But my pick, I'm going Aztecs to cover, Boise to win, and Ram fans, you still got another week of waiting and hoping for a Boise loss for you to get your chance to maybe make a New Year's Day bowl game. So that's all I got. There was one question on Twitter. How do I get Chris's new theme song out of my head? Well, I don't know what to tell you. It's catchy. You like it? Although it's either one of those things where it's bad, it's catchy, and it's terrible, which is the worst, or you think it's great and you sing it all the time. I'm pretty sure it's the first thing I mentioned that it's terrible and you're still getting stuck in your head, which you won't like, but that's the only question we had today, and that's all I got for that. There's nothing more else to add about that. So we got, like I said, 5 football games this week. Me and Chris differ on 2, I believe. We'll put that in the infographic and everything. And I'm glad everybody loves that we're putting the timestamps on there. And I'm glad it doesn't take me too long to do it, so I'm glad that's enjoyable. So you can fast forward or rewind or find a spot for your team. hey, we passed 1,000 likes on Facebook. Thank you so much for that. That's awesome. Thanks for everybody who likes it, comments us. Again, comments for us on the site. Give us a review. iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud. Leave a comment. Let me know what can improve on the show. Hopefully this show is okay. I know it's by myself. I haven't done a solo show in a while, so you can probably stumble a bit here and there. But, heck, man, we got a couple more weeks of football left, and basketball's around the corner. We'll do some hoops on that. So we got a few new writers coming aboard this week. We are going to attempt to do a weekly basketball show because I know people like hoops as well, and we want to keep the podcast numbers up for people who want to listen to the show, and hopefully you guys enjoy what we're doing. I'm glad we got people reading and listening. And again, like I end every show, we are for and against every team in the conference. So thanks for listening. Again, check us out at mwcconnection.com. We'll talk to you next time.